Man, good morning, Victory. How y'all doing this morning? Oh, it sounds like y'all need some caffeine this morning. How y'all doing this morning? That's what I'm talking about. I'm excited that I get to be able to hang out with you here on this third service. Hey, listen, y'all, I got a question. How many of you know that every single day over 150,000 people die? That's over 6,000 people every hour, over 100 people every minute, and about 2 people every single second. You know what that means, right? That means that since I started speaking, 30 people have already died around the world. And some people might have gotten hit by a car or fallen off of a cliff, and others may have died of a heart attack, and yet others may have died of natural causes. And one way or another, they all died. And death is just one of those things that every single person in this room has in common, you see, because death, it doesn't discriminate against your skin color or your political beliefs or where you were born or how much money you have. As we all know, physical death is inevitable. But what if I told you, that you were not made for death? That when we were created, God did not stamp us with an expiration date. Would that change the way we think about life? Would that change the way that we lead our lives? Now, before I go on, I want to take a moment to acknowledge something. There might be someone in the room today that doesn't even believe in God or that we were created at all. You may agree with the narrative of evolution, and you may hold to the belief that death is just a natural part of the evolutionary process. And you might believe that you came in with a bang and you're gonna go out with a bang. And I respect that. And I'm glad that you chose to join us today, because we're going to be diving into a new 2-part series titled Made for More. And my hope is to provide you with a different perspective, a different narrative about the reality of our existence. So the only thing I ask is that you hear me out. I've heard it said that we are the product of a cosmic explosion. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like the Big Bang Theory? The Big Bang Theory says is the idea that the universe began as a single point and expanded to grow as large as it is right now. The theory is that the universe was created in a massive explosion that created the majority of matter and physical laws that govern our ever-existing cosmos. So, in other words, according to this theory, like I said earlier, today, you and I exist and are here right now because of an explosion that happened many, many years ago. And if I'm just being honest, can I be honest in here? Yes. If I'm just being honest, I feel like it takes way more faith to believe that than it does to believe in God. And here's what I mean. Imagine that I went to one of the local junkyards in the area, and you know, I brought an explosive there, and I detonated, and boom, it explodes. And then all of a sudden, you see the smoke, and the smoke vanishes, and then the dust, it settles, and lo and behold, this is what appears. A Tesla truck. Y'all know this thing is bulletproof? This thing is straight gangster. Let me show you the inside of this baby. Look at how clean that looks. Man, that's modern, looks sharp. I would love to drive one of those. I'll tell you what, to me, it just defies logic, y'all. This here is way too sophisticated to be the result of an explosion. And similarly, creation as a whole is way too sophisticated to be the result of an explosion. Then that just leads to another question for me. Who or what created the explosion? Here's two things that I know to be absolutely true. Nothing cannot come from anything because it's nothing. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So that means that something had to create everything. And when I think about the flowers and the birds and the trees and the sun and the moon and the stars and puppies and kittens and male and female, when I think about fruit and I think about the seed that's inside of fruit, all of these things point to a creator. It points to an intelligent designer. An eternal being that set outside of the realm of time and like a master architect built the foundations of the world. Now, go a little bit deeper about this whole evolution thing. This is just me, but the theory of evolution is somewhat depressing to think about. I mean, it's all about the survival of the fittest, isn't it? I mean, if you believe in the theory of evolution, then you only believe in the here and the now. The theory of evolution, it doesn't provide any hope. There's no future beyond death. So therefore, there's no purpose to life. You know what that means then, right? What you do does not matter. And your relationships do not matter. And the fact that you work hard, I know we have a lot of hard workers in the house today, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you're a good person. It doesn't matter that you're a bad person. The fact that you feel alone in this world doesn't matter because who you are doesn't matter and what you believe doesn't matter. If the theory of evolution had a voice, it would say there is no point to living. And I need you to know today that nothing could be further from the truth. I need you to know that truth has an enemy whose job description is to kill you. I need you to know that despite what evolution teaches, you were created by God on purpose. It was very, very intentional. And you were created for a purpose. You have a mission. Listen to me, y'all. You are not a mistake. You were brought into this world for this precise moment in history. It's no coincidence that you live where you live right now, that you work where you work right now, that you have the family that you have right now. You were made by God on purpose and for a purpose. And I need you to know that you and the entirety of humanity was handmade by God as the apex jewel of his creation. You see, when God created the earth and the lights and the sea and the sky, he stepped back and he took a look. And you know what he said? He said, "Ooh, that's good." And then he made fish for the sea, and he made birds for the sky, and he made animals for the land, and get this, he made man for himself. So if you ever wondered what you were made for, it's relatively simple. You were made for a relationship. In the book of Genesis, we learn that it was God himself who devised the plan to create humanity. In Genesis chapter 1, we read, "Then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, over all of the creatures that move along the ground." You see, the plan was that all of humanity, starting with Adam, would be formed and fashioned in the image and the likeness of God. That means that all of humanity would resemble God mentally, they would resemble God morally, and they would resemble God socially. Humanity was created to reason and make choices like God, a reflection of God's intellect and his freedom. You see, humanity was created in righteousness and perfect innocence, which is a reflection of God's holiness. Humanity was created for relationship, which is a reflection of God's triune nature and his love. And as we continue to read in the book of Genesis, we read in chapter 2, we learn how man was made. It says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." You see, God got his hands dirty, y'all. And just like a master potter, he formed the man and made a masterpiece. And get this, he didn't just form man. He breathed into creation. Now follow this, Yahweh deposited his breath into dirt. Now follow what I'm saying? And he made a living being. It was a deep inhale and a deep exhale from the core of his being that filled the very thing that he formed. Yahweh. This is the way us English people spell it, right? But the Jews, they spelled it a little bit differently. Look at how they spelled it. Can you imagine trying to pronounce that? Has no consonants. Well, I heard one scholar say it like this. This is how you pronounce it. Yahweh. Yahweh. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you? The Jews, I tell you what, they understood that the breath of God was a deep inhale and a deep exhale. Yahweh breathed his very essence into man. So the mere fact that you have the breath that you have today is a testament to God's life-giving breath. You know what that means? That means that the breath that you have right now belongs to God. Give it back to him with an expression of gratitude. So God, he breathed into man, and man became a living being. So what's the purpose? What's the point? God purposely created humanity so that we could have an intimate relationship with him. We, you and I, we were made for relationship. So in Genesis chapter 1, we gain a different perspective of how we came into existence. And we learn that God, he spoke everything into existence, and then he formed man. And get this, before God formed man, he looked at everything and he said it was good, right? So when he made the fish and he made the birds and he made the bees and the wild animals, he stepped back and said, this is good. But it wasn't until he made male and female, that's me and you, that he looked at his creation and said, it is very good. Genesis chapter 1 says, then God looked over all he had made and saw that it was very good. I'm telling you, y'all were made for more than just being good. Y'all were made very good. Y'all were made for more. All of creation was good until humanity stepped into the picture. All of creation was good until you stepped into the picture. When you came into the picture, God looked at his masterpiece and saw that it was very good. So if you ever looked in the mirror and said to yourself that you are not pretty enough, or if you've ever doubted yourself and thought that you are not good enough, or if you've ever felt like giving up in this life, you need to know that you have an enemy that is feeding you lies. I am here to tell you that you are not a mistake. Hallelujah. You are not just good, y'all. You are more than good. You are very good in the eyes of God. And it's no wonder that the devil is mad. God made dirt to be better than him, y'all. Think about that for a minute. Earlier, I said that truth has an enemy. And that enemy, he is hell-bent on killing you. And if you don't know your enemy's name, his name is Lucifer. And most people, they know him as Satan or, you know, the devil. And he's first introduced to us in the Bible as a serpent. The Bible teaches us that Satan is a spiritual being who rebelled against God. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, we read, "Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of God. I will be like the Most High." Satan obviously had a high opinion of himself. And because God created spiritual beings and human beings with free will and gave them the ability to choose whether they're going to love God or hate God, Satan, he chose to exalt himself. And rather than honor the God that created him, he chose to rebel against him. So God humbled him. If you don't humble yourself, you will be humbled. God booted Satan out of heaven, and Satan claimed authority over the world that we, you and I, are in. And his very first act in office, guess what it was? It was to cause death. In Genesis chapter 3, we learned that Satan deceived Eve. In fact, this is what it says. "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from the fruit of any of the trees in the garden?' 'Of course we can eat the fruit of the trees in the garden,' the woman replied. 'It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat.' God said, 'You must not eat it or even touch it, or else you gonna die.'" Verse 5, God knows. Oh, hold on, verse 4, let's go to verse 4. "You won't die." Check out what the father of lies tells Eve. Hold on, you ain't gonna die. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God." Does that sound familiar? You will be like God, knowing both good and evil. So the woman, she was convinced, and she saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom that it could give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave to her husband, who was where? With her, and he ate it too. And at that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame. at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together and covered themselves. You see, it was at that moment that death came into the world, y'all. Their blatant disregard for God separated them from a right relationship with God. Because of their blatant disrespect for God, every single breath that they took from that moment on led to their physical death. Just as much as every single breath that we take today is leading to our physical death. Morbid, I know, but this is where we land, y'all. See, God, He made us for a perfect eternal relationship with Him. But Satan robbed humanity of that relationship. And there was only one way that that relationship could be restored, y'all. God Himself had to wrap Himself in flesh and then die a brutal death so that we could be in a right relationship with God. Blood had to be shed so that we could experience life. And blood was shed, y'all. And a body was brought to the grave. And 3 days later, Jesus, God incarnate, rose from the grave. He walked up out of that tomb. And His resurrection sealed the deal, y'all. Listen, death was defeated. Jesus paid the price, a sacrificial price. He loved you this much that He paid the price so that you and I could have life. So that you and I, we could be connected back to God. You see, Jesus' resurrection, it paved the way for us to have an intimate relationship with the Father, so that we, you and me, could walk in what we were made for. And if you ever wondered what you were made for, it's simple. You were made for a relationship. You were made for walking with God. You were made for talking with God and being led by God to make a difference in a dying world, to speak life to a dying world. And if you're here today, and if you're wondering how to do that, I want to give you a next step. It's a practical next step. Pretty simple. Draw close to God. In James chapter 4, verse 8, we read, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you." And I love the way the next part of this verse reads. "Wash your hands, wash, wash, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." What would it look like if we actually lived this out? What if today you made a decision to draw close to God? What if today you decided to build an authentic relationship with Jesus? I know I made that decision 22 years ago, y'all, and it absolutely changed the trajectory of my life. And it was hands down the best decision that I had ever made in my entire life, y'all. I have something to live for. I have a purpose in my life. I even have my own personal purpose statement. Y'all want to hear it?
Yes.
All right, here it goes. Y'all ready for this? All right, here's my purpose statement. Heaven is my home, and I'm just here recruiting. What you think about that one? Heaven is my home, and I'm just here recruiting. Are you looking for purpose? Are you looking for purpose in your life? If you are, I want to encourage you. draw close to God. It's a promise. He says if you do it, he will draw close to you. And he will absolutely reveal your purpose. Listen, y'all, I can't overemphasize this point enough. Evolution and every other theory that tries to explain your existence provides no hope for living. But God, y'all, but God says you were made on purpose, y'all. And through his son Jesus, God provides a purpose for your life. And get this, he wants your life to be rich and satisfying. In fact, Jesus, as he was teaching while on his earthly ministry, he says in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But my purpose is to give them, that means you, that means me, to give them a rich and satisfying life. I like the way another version says it. It says the thief came not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I come that you might have life, and life in abundance. Life in abundance, y'all. Amen. Some of y'all in the room might be very familiar with this passage. Some of you in the room already know that you were created by God on purpose and for a purpose. You know that you were made to walk with God, and you know that you were made to talk with God, and you know that you were made to be led by God to make a difference in this world. But I have to ask, are you actually living this out? This is certainly a question that I ask myself. I gotta check myself before I wreck myself. When life gets crazy, is there evidence of my spending quality time in the presence of the Father, in the presence of God? Is there evidence of my being still, of praying, of digging into his word? Do you spend time with Jesus? If you are a Jesus follower, what would it look like if this week you took 5 minutes, not asking for a lot, 5 minutes, just 5 minutes to be still, and 5 minutes to pray, and 5 minutes to read the Bible for 5 days? What would that look like? That's not asking for a lot, is it? What would your life look like if you spent time relationally with the Father? If your relationship with God is not where it should be, I want to encourage you to start there. As we close, a man by the name of Paul, he was writing a letter to a group of Christians, Jesus followers, in a place called Corinth. In his first letter, he writes in chapter 15, verse 21, you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ, who belongs to Christ, who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Is there anyone here that is tired of wondering what you were made for? Is there anyone in the room today who wants to belong to Christ? Are you ready to walk in what you were made for, to have a deep and intimate relationship with your Creator? If that is you, don't resist, y'all. If you are ready to make Jesus your Lord, what are you waiting for? here at Victory, we believe that baptism is your next step at drawing close to God. And if you haven't been baptized, what are you waiting for? Listen, y'all, we got towels and shirts and shorts. We might even have socks back there, y'all. You ain't got no excuse. What are you waiting for? If the Lord is tugging on your heart, if God is dealing with your heart right now, don't resist it, y'all. Here in just a moment, our team, they're gonna lead us in a song, and as they do, I wanna invite anyone who is ready to make that decision to head down to the stairs to my left or to my right and make your way backstage. If that's you, what are you waiting for? Listen, y'all, you don't have anything to lose. You got everything to gain. Give it up for these amazing people that are making their way. Hallelujah. Give it up for another soul that's making their way. Everyone who belongs to Christ will have new life. Will you come? Don't resist, y'all. You know God is stirring your heart. What are you waiting for? You ain't got nothing to lose. You got everything to gain. So stand to your feet and be bold and make your way to the waters of baptism. What are you waiting on? Amen.